There are people who define their lives by the places where they live. I am, and there's no mistaking it, one of them. We fixate on rooms and their arrangements. On the book report, we can't see the difference between setting and plot, between the landscape and the characters in it. For me, the house my architect father built in eastern Wisconsin in the early 1970s is the line drawing beside the word house in the dictionary. 20 miles north of the town of Fond du Lac, the house was backed into a hill, the Niagara Escarpment, what we locals call the ledge. At the front, a wall of glass and a descending view. A field, a farm, another field, and then the lake. The children's rooms were in the back, and they smelled like a cave. Packed dirt, cold stone. Monk cells with a single bed and a built-in desk and bookshelf. The rooms were designed, my father said, to resemble the dormitory room where he'd been so happy as a young man. Every morning, I'd leave my room and walk down a narrow hallway, and in that walk out to the rest of the house, I moved from darkness to light, constriction to expanse. At the end of the hallway, you stood on a promontory, looking down over the living room open 30 feet to the ceiling. My father designed the skylights to catch the morning sun over the top of the ledge. 6 stairs down, and you were in that light, looking down again through the living room to woods, lawn, field, farm, and lake. There were no curtains. I sometimes say that the house raised me as much as my parents did. From the layout, I learned how the self can change size. How at night in the bedroom, I grew to fit space, pulsing and ungainly, like Alice squeezed inside a rabbit hole. From the view and the progress to it, down and out, from small room to larger ones, from the ledge to the lake, I internalized a narrative of daily drama. You felt as if every day you could be remade. I've been happy in the places I've lived since leaving Wisconsin at 18, but I've never felt quite at ease. It's as if the last 25 years have been one long slumber party, and I, stiff on the rollaway, must keep one eye open for morning, listen for a rescuing honk in the driveway from the car that will take me home. On the night of 9/11, when others were staring numb at the television screen, my sister and I comforted ourselves by recounting every detail we could remember of the house in Wisconsin. We sat on my couch in Brooklyn, beer bottles sweating in our grip, and walked through each room, looked out every window, until finally, in our minds, we separately and silently closed our bedroom doors. My parents sold the house long ago, but some days, as I step out the front door of my New York apartment building, I half expect to see before me the rafters and the skylights of our living room, still expect to feel a narrow hallway opening out to the light and space of a Wisconsin morning.